It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert will be back with me on Wednesday. Coming up later in the show, we'll talk about how whitefish are returning to some Wisconsin rivers after being absent for over a century. First, a new report out from the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism looks at higher levels of estrogenic compounds in well water in northeastern Wisconsin. Why are they there? Where do they come from? Not quite sure yet. Researchers think there could be a tie to all the dairy farmers in that region. Kate Golden joins us now to give us the details. She's a reporter for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. Kate, welcome to the show.
Hi there.
So what hormones are we talking about, or what kind of compounds are we talking about in these wells in northeastern Wisconsin?
The short answer is we don't really know. So the researchers looked at well water in areas that already had a history of contamination. So it's not a random sample in these karst areas where water travels super fast straight into the groundwater from surface. It can often be contaminated. And what they found, they looked at chemicals. They looked for chemicals that would basically make breast cancer cells in the lab proliferate. So it's a hormone-sensitive breast cancer, and if you feed it hormones, then the cancer cells grow. So whatever was in the water made the cancer cells grow, and there were very slight amounts. It wasn't enough to tell people stop drinking their water, but it was enough to be worrisome.
Mm-hmm. And this is a controversial part of the story, I know, but where are these compounds coming from, or what's the mystery behind where they're coming from?
The mystery is that there are a lot of things that act like estrogen. So it could have been actual estrogen on cows in that area. There are tons of cows, way more cows than people. They produce a lot more waste than people. There's, in Kewaunee County alone, I think the stat I used was that there's like 36 times more waste from cows than people there. But people take birth control pills, the estrogen, you know, there are lots of industrial chemicals and personal care products and municipal sludge, and there's all sorts of chemicals that act like estrogen. So even though dairy farms and manure and pesticides are quite likely because of the volumes being put on the land, we really don't know what the chemicals were.
And the thought is this karst region that you mentioned, the topography here, the landscape, makes it likely that possibly manure would have runoff that would quickly go into the groundwater supply. That's one of the possible culprits researchers are talking about.
I mean, that's already happening in this area. That is an issue in this area. You know, this is a particularly contaminated part of Wisconsin. The wells in the town of Lincoln, 51% of the wells tested were unsafe due to either nitrates, which are connected to agriculture, or bacteria, coliform bacteria. They're an indicator of some sort of contamination. In the rest of the area, it's more like maybe 30%, but not everybody tests their wells.
And how big a problem is that? Is that something that the DNR say, or local governments are trying to get people to do more?
When I talked to local government officials, they said, you know, we don't know what effect this estrogen stuff has, but if your article does one thing, it will make people go out and test their wells.
And they could be testing for other things like E. coli, I think you mentioned in your article.
Yeah. If you test for bacteria and nitrates, that's kind of a basic thing to look for. And you come back with a positive for coliform bacteria, then you might want to go back and test for E. coli. If you live in an agricultural area, you might want to do a pesticide screen. There are metals to look for. Those are the big ones.
One of the concepts you introduced, or introduced me to, at least in the coverage, is the manure to cropland ratio. What is that, and how does it play into the water here?
Yeah, it was a new one for me, too. It basically describes how much acreage you have to spread the manure on. Manure is both a nutrient, it helps farmers, and it's also a waste. It's something you have to get rid of. And you know, now that we have concentrated farming more and more, we have thousands and thousands of gallons of manure to deal with in Wisconsin. I think Gordon Stevenson, who used to run the runoff management section, estimated that Wisconsin cows produce more manure than the people in Mexico City and Tokyo produce waste. So that's a lot of manure, and we need some place to put it. And sometimes it goes into digesters and things like that, but basically it gets spread on the land, and the less land you have, the more likely that you spread too much. or you spread when you shouldn't.
Getting back to the estrogenic compounds, these things that in at least some ways behave like estrogen, one of the health concerns here is that these can be endocrine disruptors, right? I hear about those in various environmental stories. What does that mean? What can they do to us?
Right. So we don't know, but endocrine disruptors, so the endocrine system has it is hormones flip the switches of your body's functions. It affects growth and regulation, development, your energy levels, all sorts of things. So endocrine disruptors are thought to be connected to hormone-related cancers, breast cancer, thyroid cancer, things like that. But they're also connected to a lot of other potential diseases. And scientists are still kind of figuring that out. With fish and wildlife, it's a little better known. We know that certain endocrine disruptors can feminize fish. They make male fish produce basically egg yolk proteins, and they start to do things that normally only females will do, things like that.
Now, you mentioned that the amounts of these estrogen-like compounds in the water don't, they themselves aren't enough to warrant a don't drink this warning.
Right.
Is there a concern about a cumulative impact, from the water, the well water, and other sources in our lives?
Yeah, we are being constantly exposed to endocrine disruptors. If you look at the antibacterial soap in the bathroom, it's got triclosan that's thought to be an endocrine disruptor. The flame retardants in your mattresses are most likely endocrine disruptors. We have our own, the more estrogen you're exposed to in your lifetime, the greater your risk for certain types of hormone-sensitive cancers. We are surrounded by these chemicals, and the amounts in the well water are very, very slight. But what concerned the researchers was this cumulative exposure.
What's the next step for the researchers at UW-Green Bay who are looking into this?
I don't know if there are going to be follow-ups. The next step, the next obvious step, would be to take those well water samples and run them through some instruments that can tell you not just what the water can do, that it can exert some estrogenicity, but tell you what those chemicals are so you'd have an idea of what the source is. Is it estrogen produced by cows? Is it, hormones? Is it the ethinyl estradiol, the synthetic birth control pill from leaky septic systems? We don't know. But when I talked to the researchers, they didn't have access to that kind of equipment. They didn't have the money for it, and they would like to follow up, but they didn't have immediate plans to do that.
With the manure issue in particular, are there things that the DNR is doing or the state ag department is doing to try to deal with runoff into water supplies? Or is that still an open question?
So there are standards for, and like large farmers, CAFOs, who have the confined animal feeding operations of 1,000 or more animal units at 700 dairy cows. They have to file these nutrient management plans that have very specific instructions on what they're going to do, how much manure they will apply where, how they're going to store it, things like that. There is a lot of controversy over that in northeastern Wisconsin because the land there is so vulnerable to contamination. A lot of the fissures in the ground and the karst features where water and runoff can just go straight down, they aren't necessarily visible on the surface. And there's controversy because basically there is very little enforcement of nutrient management plans. It is a complaint-based enforcement, and there aren't the goal is to get one inspector every 5 years. I'm not sure that the DNR is actually making that goal.
Kate, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
That's Kate Golden, reporter for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. Up next, we'll learn why whitefish are returning to some Wisconsin rivers after more than a century, and what this can mean for the habitat.